Just stick with Jesus. Just stick with Jesus. You know, this morning it's a very familiar passage to us. But I trust we'll take some time this morning and really allow the Holy Spirit to maybe present it to us in a little bit of a different light. And really, I have one thought for you. One thought. And that's the title. Just stick with Jesus. You know, there are a lot of voices in this world, aren't there? There's a lot of noise. There's noise on the television, and there's noise on the radio, and there's noise coming from the boss's office at work, and there's noise coming from the kids and from the spouse, and there are all these voices, and there are all these things that really seek to pull us all these different directions. And you know, the trouble is that every one of these voices wants to talk at the same time, don't they? And they all claim pretty much the same thing, to either have the greatest need or have the absolute answer. And you just have to listen to them like now. You ever notice that with a little kid? I've noticed that with my kids from time to time. When they're trying to talk to you and you're just a little bit distracted, they'll kind of grab your face. Why? Because they want your attention. It's their voice that matters at that point. You know, when we look at the world around us and when we take a step back, sometimes it's honestly hard to know how to balance all of these voices and all of these pulls. It's hard to know the who, the what, the where, the whens, the how to live this life. You know, I can imagine the disciples here in this passage probably felt this way a little bit. You know, sometimes we find these stories and we just kind of cut them out of our Bibles and we take them and we say, boy, that's a great story. But when you look at it in context, it really is an amazing picture. Just a chapter before, in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus had called the disciples. The Bible says that Jesus had brought them aside and he had chose 11 of them, or 12 of them, sorry. He said, you men will be my disciples. And so we have the 12 disciples. And you know, immediately after they decided to follow Jesus, do you know what happened? The next verse, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 21. And when his friends had heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Could you imagine? You give up everything in life. You walk away from your career. You walk away from your family. You walk away from everything you've ever known to follow some man. And as soon as you make that decision, all of his friends from back home come and say, you know what? This dude's crazy. This dude is absolutely crazy. And they sought to take Jesus by force. Don't you think that may have been a little bit of a disconcerting voice to the disciples? You know, right after Jesus' friends and family came, the Bible says that the Pharisees came, the religious leaders, those people who were respected more than really anybody else in that society, they came and they said, you know what? This man has a devil. This man is demon-possessed. All of these voices, all of these ideas, and then beyond that, Jesus just begins to teach. And he teaches in chapter 3, and he teaches in chapter 4. He talks about a sower that went out to sow seed in the field. And he talked about these different types of soil. He talked about a candle and how we don't put it under a bed or under a bushel, how we set it on a candlestick. He talked about all of these different things. He taught and taught and taught and taught and taught. And there's just all of this noise. And you come to the end of chapter 4. You come to the end of chapter 4 in verse 35. And they've made this decision. You know, they've walked away from it all. Jesus' friends had come. The religious leaders had come. He had taught and taught more truth than they could possibly begin to process. And really, I imagine the thought for the disciples was, okay, where do we go from here? Have you ever been there? Where do I go from here? What next, Lord? Where is this all leading? You know, how do we truly know? How do we truly know, church, what voice it is that can truly lead us to where we need to go in this life? And more importantly, in this life to come. You know, this morning, I'm honestly, from the Bible, we're going to give you the key to it all. You know, if we could boil it down, if we could boil this life down and how to make this life matter, and if we could boil down how to make the life to come possible matter, it really comes down to just this one simple key to life. Are you ready? It's simply this. Just stick with Jesus. Just stick with Jesus. And we're going to look at a couple of things this morning and how the disciples made that decision and how it proved the greatest blessing of their lives. Let's begin reading. We'll read the first two verses. The Bible says, "And the same day that all this stuff had been transpiring, when the even was come, he," Jesus, "said unto them, let us pass over into the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships." Can I tell you this morning, for your direction in life, just stick with Jesus. For your direction in this life, just stick with Jesus. You see, the disciples had received the call, and the call was from the Master. Who was it that said, "Let us pass over into the other side"? Jesus did. Who said, "Get in the boat"? Jesus did. You know, when you're looking for direction and you want to know what really matters and you want to know where to go next and where it's all leading, can I tell you, for your direction in life this morning, it really is as simple as just stick with Jesus. The call was from the Master. You know, we get all hung up sometimes and we'll follow men, won't we? We'll follow men. There are people out there that follow certain men of the political realm, and they would leave it all behind, and they would die for some man in the political realm. There are people that put all of their eggs in the basket of some physician or some scientist in the medical realm. There are people who put all of their eggs in some man in the religious realm. Can I tell you, it's not about a religion. And it's not about being any particular denomination. Can I tell you? It's not about a doctor and it's not about a teacher. It's about the book. The call was from the Master. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus is still speaking. Jesus is still speaking to us today. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 1, verses 1 and 2, "God, who at sundry times and in divers or various manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by whom?" By His Son, "whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world." Can I tell you, God is still speaking to us today through Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are we listening? Are we listening? Can I tell you, God is speaking. The question is not if God is speaking to you today. Sometimes we do that, right? We sit in church and we say, "Boy, that was a great message. I hope Bill Brown was listening." We do that, don't we? We do. But can I tell you this morning, if you're not allowing God to speak to you, you've missed it. You've missed it. And you will walk away like one of the multitudes who never got to experience all the things that were coming down the pike. God is speaking to you, and He's calling you maybe to cast out a little deeper. I want you to know it was from the Master, and it was for movement. Jesus said, "Get in the boat, we're going somewhere." You see, it's good to come and listen to the Bible and preaching. And it's nice to hear the stories, isn't it? But can I tell you, the Christian life isn't about sitting around and listening to stories 24/7. God wants us to take what we hear, take what we get from the Master, and get up and do something with it. Amen. When the Master speaks to us, it's for movement. And God's calling each and every one of us to step out by faith and go a little bit further this morning, to go a little bit deeper. Can I tell you, God's calling some of you young people this morning to really make a stand for purity in your lives. In a world that wants to throw sensuality at you 24/7, God is calling you to up the game, to hear His voice, and to stay pure. You know, God is speaking to some of us this morning. I can stay behind the pulpit if I need to. I'll try to stay behind the pulpit. There are no promises. If I get to wandering, I may just go grab a mic. We'll go old school, okay? All right. You know, God is speaking. Can I ask what God's calling you to do? Oh.
Check, check. Perfect. Can I encourage you this morning for direction in your life? Just stick with Jesus. Just stick with Jesus. They received the call, but can I tell you, they also responded with commitment. The truth is, many hear the call, but few go. The multitudes went away, the Bible says, and the only people that stuck around with Jesus were the disciples, and the Bible says a few other little ships beside. The vast majority of people turned and walked away. Why? It wasn't convenient. They had been there all day. They had been there all day hearing and listening to the preaching and learning, and it was night and they were tired and they said, you know what, I'll do it tomorrow. Can I tell you, when Jesus speaks to you, don't wait, respond with commitment. But I look at the disciples here and they left a place of abundance. The Bible says that a multitude had come. They had drawn a crowd. Could you imagine? I mean, if this place was filled to the hilt, and we had people standing, we had to open all the doors, and we had somebody like Brother Darrell make a makeshift balcony for us, and you know, we just hope the fire marshal didn't show, and we started stuffing people up in there one Sunday. And I tell you, people were getting saved and the offerings were full and people were just showing up with potluck meals. And I mean, this was just good and the Lord was moving. What would we want to do? Park. And that was the case. The disciples were called to leave a place of abundance, a place where it made sense, a place where all their needs were met, and to cast out into the unknown. They left for a place without assurances. When Jesus said, get in the boat, let's go, they did. They didn't say, well, Jesus, how long's the ride going to take? Jesus, how much energy am I going to have to exert? Jesus, are the peanuts and the sodas free on this trip? Is there any possibility we could upgrade to first class? You know, Jesus, what sort of guarantees can you give me? Can I tell you, not only did they leave a place of abundance, but they left without assurances. God is speaking, and yes, it's going to pull you out of your comfort zone. And yes, it's not going to make sense to your unsaved friends at work and your unsaved family members. And it may not even make sense to you, but when God speaks, can I tell you, respond with commitment. Just stick with Jesus. When it doesn't make sense, can I tell you, it doesn't matter. You want doesn't make sense, turn to Genesis chapter 22. We get a synopsis of it in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. And God woke Abraham up one day and said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. And I want you to go to a mountain and I want you to kill him. Tell me how that makes sense. Tell me how, you know, if I were Abraham, you know what I would have done? I'd have woke up the next day and been like, snooze. Oh, Lord, did I oversleep? My bad. What was it that you wanted me to do again? Well, it's kind of late in the day. You know, I'd have put it off. I'd have found any way and everywhere I could to try to put it off. But the Bible says that Abraham woke up early the next day. Hebrews chapter 11, we see a synopsis. Look at this faith. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 17. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was what? Able to raise him up, even from the dead. Can I tell you, when it doesn't make sense, just stick with Jesus. Tell me how it made sense in the book of Joshua when they came up to the city of Jericho. And God said, here's how I want you to defeat this city. I just want you to march around the walls a bunch of times. And then on the seventh day, I want you to scream and blow trumpets. Sure, that sounds great. You know, maybe, Robbie, maybe we could try this in basketball next year. And instead of playing, we'll just march around the court seven times. And then we'll turn to the other team and go, ah! Maybe it'll work. Okay. Tell me how this makes sense. But what happened? You get a synopsis, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, the Bible says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Not a shot was fired. Can I tell you, sometimes God will call you to do things and move places and give things and give yourself in ways that you just don't see how it could ever work. But when it comes to your direction in life, can I tell you, don't follow the doctor, don't follow the preacher, don't follow the educator, don't follow the politician, just stick with Jesus. For your direction this morning, just stick with Jesus. Secondly, for your deliverance this morning, just stick with Jesus. You know, the disciples got in the boat. They didn't ask a lot of questions. They cast off. And in verse 37, the Bible says that there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You know, imagine that. Some of us have said, you know what, I heard the call, and I received the call with commitment. So why the storm? Why the storm? It came to the obedient. Can I tell you, I wish I could tell you this morning that when you decide to follow Jesus, that when you decide to be with Jesus, that it would guarantee a smooth passage. And we mentioned in Sunday school that all your friends will line the streets with signs that say, go, Christian, go. You can do it. We believe in you. But that's not always the case, is it? Tell me, every time you make a major decision for God, does not the devil rear his head and try to knock you back? Yes or no? Every single time. The truth this morning is that God doesn't promise us protection from every storm, but what he does guarantee is his presence through every storm. And the truth this morning is that our faith will be tested, because the devil doesn't care how much you know. The devil doesn't care how often you come in this church and you sit and you listen to the word of God. The devil doesn't care how much Bible knowledge you accumulate in your head, as long as you don't do anything with it. The devil don't care. But can I tell you, as soon as you start to do something with it, the devil's going to rear his head. And it's not always going to be easy. The Bible says that the ship was now full. Have you ever just had about all you could take? And all the parents said, amen. Especially those with teenagers waving hankies, glory, hallelujah. You ever had just about all you could take? Can I tell you, for your deliverance in this life, there really is but one simple thought: just stick with Jesus. You see, sometimes we get so caught up in why the pain, Lord? Why the pain? You know, my kids on a pretty regular basis at this point in their lives will look at my wife or I and say things like this: Mama, my legs hurt. Daddy, my legs hurt. They hurt. I can't walk right. What's wrong? Don't they? From time to time. What is that? Growing pains. And we know, we as adults understand what that is, and we say, that's all right, you're not going to die, it just means you're growing. That just means you're getting a little taller. That just means you're getting a little stronger. And Ken, when I tell you, when the storms come up, when the devil rears his head and tries to knock you back, and things are a little bit painful, and you've had about all you can take, can I tell you, take heart. Because what it is it's just a little bit of growing pains, Christian. And God's going to see you through. For your deliverance this morning, just stick with Jesus. Admit your frailties. Admit your frailties. It amazes me. Jesus here was tired. And so what does the Bible say he did in verse number 38? And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Can I tell you? What a beautiful picture of the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture. The Bible talks about it. We have not a great high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus understands our frailties. As a human, he took on our frailties. He was hungry. He was tired. He experienced those things that we do as humans. The Bible says that he was asleep on a pillow. He needed to sleep as a human. And he understands our frailties. The book of Psalm 104 in verse 13, the Bible tells us this: for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And yet how often do we, like the disciples, have this Superman complex that we can do anything we set our minds to? Isn't that our culture? We tell little kids that all the time. You can be anything you want to be. Well, realistically, that's not true. It just isn't. If I wanted to be a bird, I'm never going to be able to fly. We have this mindset, well, anything we set our minds to, boy, we can accomplish it. And we've accomplished much. You know, you look at America and what America has done, and we get this Superman complex, and we carry it over into our Christianity that we can really do anything. And we carry it over into the church and how we deal with spiritual trials. But the truth is this, isn't it? That it's not that we can do everything, but that we can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. This morning, admit your frailties. You don't have to keep the boat afloat. You don't have to keep bailing water. I mean, can you see these jokers? They fought with the boat until it was full. I mean, they were tossing stuff overboard. I bet Peter grabbed John by the collar and tried to throw him over to lighten the load. They did everything they could to the point where the boat was ready to sink before they would admit, you know what, we need help. And how much better would it be for us if we would just agree with Jesus, like he said in John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What's that next phrase? For without me, ye can do nothing. Not some things, nothing. Admit your frailties this morning. Admit your frailties. Abandon your fear. Can I tell you, the greatest danger on that boat that evening was not the storm around them. It was not the fierceness on the outside. It was the fear that was found within them. Because the truth is this, fear is simply the absence of faith. The two cancel each other out. What does the Bible tell us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me ask you this morning, if God didn't give us the spirit of fear, who did? If it didn't come from God, can I ask where it came from? Abandon your fear. A heart of fear, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, is an evil heart of unbelief. Now, the truth is, when fear was replaced with godly faith, I want you to notice something. The Bible says in verse 37 of our text that there arose a, what kind of storm? What kind of storm? A great storm. In the book of Matthew, it calls it a tempest. And really, that word tempest is where we get the idea of seismos or seismographic activity or earthquakes. And so literally, the earth seemed to be giving way from beneath them. It was a great storm. But when they turned to Jesus, verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Can I tell you, anytime you will admit your frailties and abandon your fear and you will run to Jesus, anytime you stick with Jesus, can I tell you, great storms can be replaced by great calms. God's grace is always sufficient. The book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 gives us a very interesting illustration of this. The Bible says, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba was really one of the first words that the babies of that speak the Hebrew language would be able to say. It was really one of the pictures of the most dependent and desperate infancy that we can see. And so just like a baby, an infant, a child desperately needs and clings to his father, so we need to have absolute confidence and trust in our Savior. Can I tell you, for your deliverance this morning, some of you this morning in a crowd this size are going through some pretty heavy things. Some of you in a crowd this size are trying to process some difficult news from a doctor, either about yourself or about a family member. Some of us in a crowd this size are experiencing some troubles in our family, maybe in our marriages, maybe with our children. Can I tell you, the devil will bring the storm, but when we just stick with Jesus, deliverance can be our end. For your deliverance this morning, just stick with Jesus. For your direction, just stick with Jesus. For your deliverance, just stick with Jesus. Finally, this morning, for your destination. For your destination. Look at verses 40 and 41, the Bible says, and when he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? For your destination this morning, can I encourage you? Just stick with Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it really is that simple. Just stick with Jesus. Remember his promises. I love this idea here. In chapter 5 and verse 1 of the book of Mark, it says, and when they had come over where? Where did they go? To the other side. Now that's very interesting, because if you look back in verse 35 of chapter 4, what did Jesus told them? Let us pass over where? To the other side. Think about this. When they set off that night, God had already given them the itinerary. And the bottom of the Sea of Galilee wasn't on the list. Remember his promises this morning. You know, we know that God cannot lie. We know that God is faithful. But sometimes it's hard, isn't it? And we get wrapped up in things and we lose sight of the things that he has promised us and the things that he has given to us by his grace. Arm yourself with the promises of God. Arm yourself with them. Because no matter what the devil throws at you, he cannot undo what God has promised to his children. It didn't matter what sort of a storm the devil whipped up. It didn't matter what kind of fear was in those men's heart. It didn't matter because nothing could undo what God had already promised to do on their behalf. What has God promised you? You know, one of the things that we point to all the time is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. At the end of it, he says, "For I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know, that word leave is a very colorful word. And really, one of the very direct translations of that word has the idea of to let sink. God looks at us and he says, "I will never let you sink." Can I tell you, when Jesus is on your boat, there is never, 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 never a threat of it going under. You look at his history. You look at his history. The book of Numbers, chapter 23 and verse 19. God says to his children here in Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19. We'll turn there if they don't have it back on the screen there. Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19. God says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall not he make good?" Honestly, ask yourself this morning, if God has said it, then what will happen? He will do it. Arm yourself with the promises of God. We know the promises, these great passages of comfort to us, Romans chapter 8, that for those of us who love God, we know that all things will work together for good. We know verses from Corinthians where it tells us that eye have not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither have entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, we see all of these promises in the scripture. Can I tell you, cling to them for your destination. Just stick with Jesus. Remember his promises. Remember his purposes. Jesus' purposes for crossing that sea was not to be overcome, but so that the disciples could personally experience what it was to be an overcomer. You see, the disciples had seen him do some things, and the disciples had heard him say some things, but the disciples had never personally experienced his power in their lives. Can I tell you, God's purpose this morning is not that you be overcome. It's not that you live a miserable life. It is not that you just struggle through. God's purpose for the Christian is that the Christian be an overcomer. Can I tell you, the whole context, the whole theme of this passage is victory. God's purpose for us in this life is victory. Because you see, on the ship there in Mark chapter 4, at the end of the chapter, they saw his power over the victory over danger, victory over the deep. When they got to the other side, they began to see his victory over demonic activity. This man that no man could tame, this man that no man could help. It was seemingly beyond hope. But when you stick with Jesus, you can see victory over that kind of activity. You know, as they progressed along, they saw victory over disease. There was a lady, as you move in chapter 5, that had had an issue of blood and spent all the money she had to try to get a cure. Nobody could help her. But when you stick with Jesus, you'll start to see some victory in disease. You'll start to find a joy and a purpose and a comfort and a grace through all of it. Until you get to the end of chapter 5, you know what you find? You find a little girl. A little girl lying in her house, dead. The people of the city gathered at that house, weeping and mourning that this little girl had died. And Jesus showed up. And you care to take a guess at what happened? The disciples got to see victory over death. Can I tell you, when you just stick with Jesus, you can know the victory of what it is to be an overcomer in anything and everything this life throws at you. It is the theme of the Christian life. It is the design that God has for us. Jesus told us this in John chapter 16 and verse 33. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Unless you think that's just a promise for him, 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, chapter 4 and verse 4, he tells us this: "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5, 4, the Bible says, "Whatsoever is born of God," what? "Overcometh." Come on, church, you can do better than that. Do you believe it this morning? I tell you, sometimes in the storm, it's hard to see it. But if you just stick with Jesus, I can tell you there's victory on the other side. If you want to get to your destination this morning, whatsoever is born of God, what? Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And faith is not void. Who is our faith in? Jesus Christ. So could we say this morning, for your destination, you want to reach your destination, you want to really know what God has for you in this life, just stick with Jesus. Just stick with Jesus. God's design for you is not a survivor's mentality, but a thriver's. He has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. You know, there were a lot of people on the shore that day that never got to experience any of this. They really didn't. They heard, they enjoyed, they probably raised their hands and clapped a little bit, sang a few songs, and when night came, they got up and walked away. You know what? God's speaking this morning. God's looking to give your heart direction. He's calling. I wonder who this morning would say, you know what? I hear that call. I hear that call to go a little farther in giving. I hear that call to go a little farther in my attendance. I hear that call to go a little farther seeking God's will, saving myself for God's will. I hear that call to overcome temptation. I hear that call to read my Bible and pray every day. I hear that call. Can I tell you, if you want direction in life, you're not going to find it on the grocery store magazine rack. You're not going to find it from Dr. Phil in the afternoon. You're not going to find it from Rush Limbaugh on the radio. You're not going to find it from President Trump at the White House. You're not even going to find it from this guy. Just stick with Jesus. You know, for deliverance this morning, some of us in here this morning, no doubt our hearts are heavy and our hearts break, and we ask why. We ask why. And you know what? It's not wrong to ask why. Even Jesus asked why on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But the trick is this: for deliverance this morning in your storm, in your trouble, in your distress, in your trial, there is but one answer. You know, we get all frustrated with the disciples. Why'd it take them so long? Can I tell you, hey, at least they figured it out. You know, a lot of people never figure it out. And they go home and cry. Or they go home and get on Facebook. Or they go home and call up their friend Sally. Can I tell you, none of those are going to help you. For your deliverance this morning in your marriage, for your deliverance this morning over temptation, for your deliverance this morning in whatever you face, can I tell you there's but one simple answer? Just stick with Jesus. And you know, when you stick with Jesus, when you get in the boat and when you determine to stay in the boat, you can begin to know true spiritual victory and conquest. You can begin to know the fullness of his promises and his purposes for your life, but you're going to have to stick with Jesus. And can I tell you, folks, when you look at it like that, when you look at it like that, sticking with Jesus is not just a good option. It is the only valid option for someone who truly wants to follow Jesus Christ. Wherever you're at this morning, can I tell you, it's just a simple thought, but I pray that the Lord allowed it to speak to our hearts. Just stick with Jesus. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed.